Hey, if you have your Bible this morning, I want to talk to you about Acts chapter 1. I want to talk to you about superheroes today. Superheroes. Now, I want to read just really one verse of scripture for our text today. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And the Bible says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." One more time, I want to read it. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When I was growing up over in the Promised Land, over in Mississippi, we had black and white televisions. And Skip, one of the first programs, one of my favorite programs, the main player was Clark Kent. Anybody ever watch Clark Kent? They call him, he was the mild-mannered reporter for the Daily Planet. And his girlfriend's name was Lois Lane, that's right. And I always wanted to see Clark Kent, my little boy's heart. You know, used to, they didn't kiss on television, didn't use bad words or anything. Today, you can see anything on television. But back in those days, they wouldn't even kiss a woman. You wouldn't do that. But I loved it. It made me giggle when he'd hug her, you know. But I wanted him to kiss her, Jamie, but he never kissed her. But old Clark Kent was really Superman's who he was. He was a man that had a supernatural power about it. He's just an average, ordinary guy, a common guy. But when that power was activated, he was a guy that could win war, he could fight battles, he was a guy always doing good. He was doing good and helping people, kind of like Robin Hood. The idea of Superman, superpower. I guess behind him came along Batman. He was one of the next ones. And Wonder Woman. You had to have a female, so Wonder Woman. And now, you know, they got a new movie out now, Whitney, it's called, anybody seen it? Think it opened up Friday? Spider-Man, a good guy, a common, just a guy, average guy, but somebody has that secret power in his life. Really, that's kind of what the Acts 1:8 talks about. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world." When you get that power in your life, and see, I believe every believer has that power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, Billy. All of us do. And if you don't have, the Bible says in Romans 8 and 9, if you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of His. Now, I don't mean everybody's a Pentecostal. I don't mean that. I remember the first time, my first visit to a Pentecostal church. It was kind of scared me a little bit. It was kind of a mysterious place. And then I discovered, though, Wendy, they love Jesus just like we do. They're just different. But I don't mean something like that. But I mean there is a difference. There is a difference, that power in your life. If you're a Christian, God has given us that power. Acts 1:8. We read in Matthew 28, 19-20 is the Great Commission, where Jesus said the last thing He said before He left this world. I remember my dad's last word. The last thing our Savior said before He left this world, He said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, and therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." That is, Dr. David Ryan, that's our mission. That is our mandate from our Savior. He said, "Go in all the world." All right, how are we going to do it? Tell you how we do it. Acts 1:8. We're Acts 1:8 people. And by the way, if you don't know it, if you're a member of the Baptist church, every Baptist, Jesse, is a missionary, right? We're all missionaries. Wherever we go, wherever you serve, Jake, you're a missionary. We're on mission for the Lord. Acts 1:8, though, that tells us the method. How are we going to do it? How can we do it? Jesus said, "Go in all the world, reach them." How are we going to do it? I think it's Acts 1:8 is the key. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. That'll enable you to do it. You got the Holy Ghost power. And so I want to talk to you this morning. I'll make two or three points about that, about the Holy Spirit. God said that in Acts 1:8, 120 people, and they turned the world upside down. And I tell you, if the Holy Spirit got a hold of something major, I believe God, it's a lot more than 120 people here this morning. If God got a hold of us, I don't know what could happen in Coffee County. I don't know what could happen in Enterprise or on Fort Ruck. I don't know what could happen if the Holy Spirit got a hold of people. But I know the Bible says that they were filled with power. And the word power is in Greek is dunamos. And that's a dynamic power, that transforms lives. And that is the difference about us. It's a difference. I believe it's a difference about Jerry. I believe there's a difference about John. There's a difference about Tracy than the average guy. And that difference is the Holy Spirit that lives within us. I'll make three points about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit transforms lives. If you study the book of Acts, really, the book of Acts is a picture. It is a great outline, an example of what happens when the Holy Spirit. And you could say, we call it, it has in my Bible, the Acts of the Apostles. It could have Jack, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because that's really what it is. But really, number one, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He transforms lives. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 through 41, we find Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says this, it says, when the people heard it, they were cut to the heart. I wish I could preach like that, Mike McCarthy. I wish I could preach so that every time I preach, that men and women, boys and girls, were cut to the heart. But the Bible says their hearts were pierced, and they said, what shall we do? And Peter said right there, he said, repent and receive the God, Holy Spirit. Repent and receive the Holy Spirit. That's what happens, is the Holy Spirit comes, and He transforms lives. We have in Acts chapter 9 the story, the amazing story of a man on the Damascus Road. What was his name? Paul. Well, actually, it was Saul at the time, wasn't it? Saul later became Paul, and he was converted. And I won't read the scripture today, but it's there. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, God said to a fellow by the name of Ananias, He said, you go lay hands on that man, Paul, because I have anointed him. I have called him. And Ananias probably said, Lord, I don't want to go talk to that man. I don't want to lay hands on him. He really wants to lay hands on me. He's been killing, persecuting Christians. But the Bible says basically that he went, and when he talked to him over in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, the Bible says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. He placed his hands on Saul, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with... See, that happened at Pentecost. It happened when there's some amazing stories. These are people that came out of paganism. Some came out of legalism, but God transformed their life. God transformed a man named Saul, who was like a religious terrorist today. He was trying to hunt down Christians and kill them. But God says when Ananias put his hands on him, that it changed his life. And the Bible says that scales fell off his eyes and he could see. And I tell you, a prayer I prayed this morning, Steve, in me and the Lord, I said, Lord, help somebody to come today, even today, out of the darkness into the light. Help them to see what it means to really follow the Lord Jesus, know Him. But the Bible says that scales fell off and he received the Holy Spirit. He had studied anything. Nobody had witnessed to, you know, nobody had taken the evangelism explosion and explained to him how to be a Christian or the four spiritual laws or the survival kit. They didn't have any of that, but God just touched, the Holy Spirit touched them and their lives were transformed. And I'm going to say this. I would ask you a question today. What would happen in your life? Where would you be? A good question is what would your life be without the power of the Holy Spirit? If God hadn't transformed your life. I want to tell you that I have a lectureship. So amazing. They do a lectureship up at Carlisle Barracks in my name every year. I go up once a year. I have a free meal card, a lifetime free meals to the club out at Fort Rock. I think it's the only one he got. I don't think there's another one. And you know, but I want to tell you something. I have a good spiritual background. I have a great heritage. My mother's the best Christian I ever met. She still is. She's the most wonderful. And I have a good background. But I can tell you this. The world may think I'm a good guy, but I tell you, I could invent ways to mess up in my life. I've always been able to do that somehow. I really have. And the world may think you're a good guy, but they don't know all my faults and failures. And I'm glad you don't know. Y'all know some of them, but I'm glad you don't really know. But I tell you this, without the power of the Holy Spirit, my life would really be an ugly, 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 ugly picture. And yours would too. And George Whitefield said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is the same person who moved over the deep in creation. The one who overshadowed the Virgin Mary at Jesus' conception. The one who descended in bodily form of Jesus at his baptism. The one who came in fire tongues at Pentecost. The one that moves in us, through us, and on us in power. The Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, first of all, the work of the Holy Spirit is to transform life. Number two, to transform communities. The Holy Spirit transforms communities. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 through 47, which is another great passage, this early church, that Holy Spirit transforms communities. The Bible says in 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Brother Mike reminded me the other day, you know, we try to get people to church once a week. The Bible says here, Jim says here in the book of Acts chapter 2, that they came daily. Daily they came to church. They were together. And I want to just tell you that it says here that they met in the temple courts and they met in their homes. They moved out of the churches into their homes. The people that lived their Christianity, they lived their faith in the streets and in the communities. I'll tell you something else. If we don't do that, the world don't care what we do in here. They don't know. Some of them drive by here robbing. They don't have a clue what goes on in here on Sunday morning. They don't really care. But I tell you, what we must do is live our faith out in the community. And the Bible says they did that. Jonathan Quisenberry, I brag on him a little bit in front of his daddy, but Jonathan preached, I think, did one of the greatest things I ever heard this past Monday morning. And he talked about his year, 2 years off at college, and he spoke about 5 minutes. It's powerful for a young man. I'm going to try it sometimes. Y'all don't believe that? Spoke about 5 minutes, and he said, here's what I've learned. He said, life is about investing. He said, I have failed to make some investments. One thing, I hadn't got in a church up there. I love my church back here at Enterprise, but I hadn't got in a church. I really hadn't invested in a church in Birmingham, but I'm going to do that this next year. But he talked about investing. And you know, smart people know that. It's, how much have you invested? How much you invested? And how much? The Bible talks about the Jesus touch. In Mark 1, it says that Jesus touched the people. In Mark chapter 10, it says they brought the little children for Jesus to touch the little children. And the Bible says over in Matthew, it talks about the woman who's been sick 12 years with an issue of blood. And she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. I want to tell you something. Old Jonathan knows something. It's all about touching people. Touching people. And that's how much have you invested. And they've always heard this, Maxie. You get out of something what? What you put into it. And a lot of people don't get much out of church because they don't invest much in, don't get much in the community because they hadn't invested. Well, I'm going to ask you the question. Do a checkup. What have you invested? What have you invested? I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He transforms lives like He did the Apostle Paul, and He transformed communities. And then just remember, if we don't live it in the community, it don't matter what we do in here on Sunday. It don't matter too much. The world don't care what we do in here. They don't really care. They need somebody to go out there and show us this is the integrity. This is the integrity by which a Christian lives. This is how a believer lives and how we love. And here's the message that we have to share out there in the community. And everybody here, we ought to make an investment. Because God made an investment in you one day when He saved your soul. God invested in you. And we need to invest in others. I want to say, lastly, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He transforms lives. Number two, He transforms communities. Number three, He transforms situations. Last Saturday morning, I was in Columbia, South Carolina. I had gone to do the funeral of the wife of one of my best friends. So I made you probably know him. He was my deputy when I was the 82nd Division chaplain. I love Harlan Triplett. He came to Fort Rucker 7 years ago to help bury Martha. One of the best men I ever worked with. He was at work in the morning. My coffee was made. When I got to work, he was already there. And when I went home at night, he was there. Nobody ever had a better exo, Demetrius, than he was. He was great. He called me, and I went part of my vacation last week to bury my friend's wife. And I tell you, I hadn't cried like that. I don't think I ever fell on a man, just fell on him. Two men ever hugged like we hugged on Friday night. And then on Saturday, I went into the church and I saw all those pictures of Carol and how happy she was. And she had MS, and for 2 years, He lifted every bite of food to her mouth. She couldn't do it. He did it. And I never known a man. I've seen a lot of things in my life, but I never seen a man be better to a woman than he was to her. So I went to bury. And it was a home going. I know it. Home. We're going home one day. I'm going home. And we're going home. If you know the Lord, we going home. It's going to be a happy thing, Skip. It's going to be because it's a wonderful place. One day we're going home. But I was kind of down. And I was about 9 o'clock in my room, in the hotel room, and I had run my 3 miles. I still do it, Sergeant Major. I eat my Raisin Bran, and the telephone rang. It was my baby girl from Carolina, my Tracy. She said, "Dad, I just had the hardest week I've had in my life." And I said, "What is it, baby?" And she said, "Daddy, a friend of mine, her name is Kim, and her husband Roy, and two little kids, 12 and 15. They relocated. Realtor sold the house out among them till the new house is ready. And they came and moved in with me while Mark's in Afghanistan. Came and moved to my house for 2 or 3 weeks." And she said, "Kim called me 2 or 3 days ago and said, 'Trace, I'm freaking out.'" And Trace said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Roy's just been shot. One of his soldiers at a safety briefing." She said, "Walked up a spec 4, walked up and put a gun to his head and blew his brains out. Killed him dead in front of a battalion full of soldiers. And then killed himself, shot himself." My daughter identified his body. And she said, one of the hardest things was, said, the wife of the shooter wanted to talk to Kim, her friend. And Kim said, "I don't think I can do that." But she said, Roy's brother's a youth pastor from Texas. And he said, I'll go and represent the family. And he went and talked to the little 23 or 24-year-old wife. Had two little babies, one a month old and one a year old. And said he went to meet with her. He said the first 20 statements out of her mouth was, I'm sorry. 20 times she said it. He asked, was she a Christian? He said, are you a Christian? She said, I am. And he said, he held it together pretty good till it started praying. And then he said, the heavens opened and the rains came, and he couldn't stop crying. Tracy said during this whole time that she said, Daddy Kim has been a picture of grace. She never said one ugly thing or one bad word. She's been a picture of grace. They flew to Texas to bury him. She said, I was hoping John was going to be here and Joanna today. They're not here, are they? He's an A&M grad. Tracy said, I'll never say another bad thing against, I'll never even make a joke about A&M, Texas A&M. Because she said, somebody put out a, by the way, are there any Aggies here today? Anybody wish they were? Well, I said, they put out a email. Somebody wrote an email because they're afraid those guys, you know, some of those crazies that show up at all the soldier funerals, you know what I'm talking about, from out in Kansas somewhere, that crazy church. Is it all right for me to say that? Y'all believe it's a crazy church? I believe they messed up. I believe they messed up. They said, put out an email, said, calling all Aggies. She said, coming from that airport, they lined the streets in Austin, Texas. Five miles to that church. Little old kids holding signs said, Roy's our hero. It's on July the 4th. And she said, when they got to the church, it was a 1,000 Texas A&M students in the Aggie red in 100-degree heat. She said it was frying. But there they stood. This is from a young girl whose husband, she's taking care of three babies while her husband is in Afghanistan. She, you know what she said? They call her, Demetri said all those CAS assistance officers and everything, they call her the bulldog, my little girl, my baby girl. She said, I'm going to take care of my friend. Said, I don't let them, I'm going to get the best for my friend. They're going to do it right for my friend. She said those guys called her the bulldog. Kind of scared to talk to her. But she said, I'm going to take care of my friend. That comes from a lady who's raised three little kids while her husband is in Afghanistan. That comes, Kevin, from somebody who said, I won't go to the beach with my three kids. I stay here and take care of somebody else's kids. It comes by somebody, comes from somebody who said, I'm going to quit my little part-time job as a nurse because my friend needs me now. They need me worse. And when she said that, Billy, I was crying on the telephone. When she said that, I thought about what Jesus said to Martha. Martha and Mary, he said to Martha, He said about Mary, he says, she has chosen what? She's chosen the best part. And I thought too about how proud I was of my baby girl and how proud her mother. Would have been at the daughter she raised. Amen. And at the center of all of it is God's. Somebody know that. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand that. I don't have an answer for that. But I know God's amazing graces. It's kind of like grits. Y'all ever been to a lot of restaurants? You don't even have to order it, do you? Down south. Ain't that right, Frankie? How many of y'all ever been to a restaurant and you got the grits where you at, ordered or not? It's just coming. Just part of the deal. And I believe that, Rick, about God's amazing grace. It's coming whether we ask for it or not. Fell on me, falls on me every day, whether I ask for it, whether I pray for it or not. God's amazing grace.